The proper name of this book is the Book of the Generation of Jesus Christ. That is the name of the book. I don't know who gave it the name St. Matthew. I guess somebody did because they think Matthew's the writer of it, and I'm sure he is. But still, the name of the book is the Book of the Generation of Jesus Christ. If you look at Genesis chapter 5, verse 1, it reads, "This is the book of the generation of Adam. In the day that God created him in the likeness of God made he him." So that book of Genesis is the book of the generation of Adam, the what is called in one place the first Adam, and this book is the generation of the last Adam, or the second Adam. So there's a lot of folks in between the two, but the scripture, in one respect, just looks at the two men, first Adam and the last Adam. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, son of Abraham. Now, through his title, the son of David, and that is the way he was, there's countless places in the scripture where he is referred to as the son of David. And being the son of David, his dominion is promised him as the son of David, his rule. And being the son of Abraham, all of the blessings of God are promised to him. Let's look at those two things just a minute. Look at, let's begin by looking in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. Genesis 12:3, and we'll begin reading verse 1. "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, into a land that I will shew thee, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless him that blesseth thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Well, all families of the earth, that gets us, don't it? And that came in through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, turn over 10 chapters, chapter 22, verse 18. "In thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." In thy seed, and that seed is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, the promise is made of a deliverer who would come and destroy Satan and his works. He'll crush the head of the serpent. He'll destroy him and his power. That promise was given of the deliverer through the seed as the seed of woman. And it could have been a woman of any nation, because it was only given that he should be seed of a woman, and that it was necessary that he be seed of a woman, because he took of the human nature of the woman and prepared a body for the Lord Jesus Christ. And in taking human nature from the woman, he married his deity to our humanity. He brought them to union in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as long as that person, as long as that union remains steadfast in him, as he said in John chapter 14, verse 19, as I live, because I live, ye shall live also. We live because of the union of the human and divine nature in the Lord Jesus Christ. We live unto God. Now, our power ain't got much to do with that, has it? Our strength's got nothing to do with it. Our faithfulness has got nothing to do with it. Our prayer life, our reading the Scriptures, our attending to church, our works, our good do's and all of our bad don'ts and all of those things got nothing to do with this. We live only because the Lord Jesus Christ lives. And as long as humanity is married to deity in his person, we will live. So he is the son of Abraham. And in that, look at Hebrews 2:16. Hebrews 2:16. For verily he took not on angels. Now you can see that I left out the italics there because I think they confuse the thing here. He didn't take on angels as surety. He didn't take on angels as mediator. He didn't take on angels as great high priest. He didn't take on angels in any of those offices. But he did take on somebody particularly. He took on the spiritual seed of Abraham. For verily he took not on angels, but he took on the seed of Abraham. Look at Galatians 3:29. Galatians 3:29. And if you be Christ's, in other words, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Look back at verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith, not unto seeds as many, but as one, and thy seed, which is Christ. Well, Christ is never separate from his members. Never in all eternity has Christ ever been separate from his members. He's always been clothed with his members. There was another place I thought of I'd like to go to there, but I can't think of exactly where it is right now. Associated with this seed of Abraham. Oh, Galatians 3:7. Galatians 3:7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are of the children of Abraham. And if we'd look at Romans 2:28-29, we'd find out that he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, but one inwardly. And circumcision is not in the flesh made with hands, but that circumcision of the heart. And we are believers of every, taken from among, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation are the spiritual seed of Abraham, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Now, as far as the promise to David is concerned, he is this. So, our Lord Jesus Christ, he in his proving that he is the son of Abraham, which he does here in his genealogy that he gives, and which Luke also gives. But in his genealogy, he proves that he is the son of Abraham, and he also proves that he is the son of David. Royalty. And your royalty. You're a bunch of royals. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Because you're not darkness, but you're light in the Lord. But let's look for just a minute. Let's begin looking at 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12. Second Samuel 7:12. And when thy days be fulfilled, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and will establish his kingdom. Now he had promised, and look at Psalm 132:11. Psalm 132:11. The Lord hath sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I sit upon thy throne. So our Lord Jesus, in his genealogy here that Matthew afterward gives, proves that he is the son of Abraham and therefore the heir of all the promises, and that he is the son of David and therefore the heir of all the dominion. The son of Abraham, the son of David. Look at, turn back to Psalm 89:3. Psalm 89:3. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant, thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations.
Amen.
Now, look, let's begin reading at verse 19. Psalm 89:19. Then thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One, and saidest, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, God in human flesh. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. He's a nigh kinsman to us. He's of our flesh, of our bones. I have found David my servant, with my holy oil I have anointed him. With whom my hand shall be established, and mine arm shall also strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face, and plague them that hate him. Now all of these promises are to Christ and to every and all his members. You're his member, they're to you. And you're his member, you're a member of Christ if you believe the gospel. My faithfulness and my mercy will I keep with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, the rock of my salvation. I also will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ, in his own person, didn't need mercy. He's the God-man. But those who are in him do. And that's what he's calling him here. His my mercy will I keep for him, him and his members. Forevermore, and my covenant will stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. Now his throne speaks of his dominion and those who are under his dominion. He is their friend, their defender, their protector, their provider. He is their king, their God. He rules and reigns over them, protects them, and destroys their enemies. His throne will be set up forever and ever. If his children forsake my law and walk no more in my judgment, and walk not in my judgments. Now, did you ever do that? Was there ever an instant in your life when you didn't love God supremely above everything? Yeah, there's been times like that. Our problem is we love ourselves. We're still selfish. We inherited that from Adam, and there is still that sin in our member that wars against us and brings us into captivity so that we cannot do the things we would. We cannot perfectly obey God as we would like to. We're sinners. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, what am I going to do with them? Am I going to cut them off, cast them into hellfire, like most of these preachers say? If they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. I'll deal with them as children. I'll correct them in measure. I'll punish their wickedness for their good. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him and them in him. Nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that's gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever. That's a promise to us. That is God's promise to each and every one of us, that we shall endure in Christ Jesus forever. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Well, that who is that? That's those that the Lord saves. Amen. As Brother Jerry said back in the beginning, he saved us. He just lets us know about it after the fact. his seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon and as a faithful witness in the heaven. And then it goes on to talk about Israel, how Israel after the flesh. The rest of the chapter is devoted to discussion of that. But look at 2 Timothy. Chapter 1. And I would like to read just about three verses here, beginning in verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us. He saved us in the covenant before the foundation of the world. Christ redeemed us at Calvary, but that was as good as done from eternity because he stood as a lamb as it had been slain from the foundation of the world. And then, who hath saved us and called us? He lets us know about it by the calling, when he gives us faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Back to Matthew chapter 1. Now, if you've noticed, and I'm sure you have, that David is mentioned first, and then Abraham is mentioned. And the progression goes from verse 1, where Abraham is last mentioned, to verse 2, where Abraham is first mentioned. So that may be one of the reasons for him mentioning them in that order. I don't know, but it may be, may not be. But anyway, verse 2, he says, "And Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren." Now, if you notice there, Abraham wasn't the firstborn. And and Isaac was not the firstborn. Esau was. What was his name? The son of Hagar. Ishmael. Ishmael wasn't, and he wasn't, he was the firstborn. He was born before Isaac. And then there were children born to Abraham after Isaac. And there was children born after the death of Sarah. But none of those folks are named, because the promise was according to God's grace, and he gives that as he will. All of these fellows that are named here, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, of course Esau was born before Jacob, and Judas wasn't the firstborn. So God gives his grace to whom he will, and he withholds it where he will. But notice also that Judas and his brethren were named, where the brethren of none of the other ones that were named are mentioned. But the brethren were named because they were the patriarchs of the church. Look at Acts 7, 8. Acts chapter 7, verse 8. "And he gave him the covenant of circumcision, and so Abraham begat Isaac, and circumcised him the eighth day, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs." All right. For Abraham begat, and Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. Now this is going to go, this is the genealogy that he's going to go ahead and trace up to Joseph. But then Luke takes the genealogy through Mary and goes from Mary, goes all the way back to Adam and God. Now we can read through that sometime. Verse 3, and Judas begat Phares, and Zara, Athamar, and Phares begat Esrom, and Esrom begat Aram. Now look at this. Here's another peculiar thing. And Judas begat Phares and Zara. But Zara wasn't in the line. Look at, turn over to Genesis chapter 38. I've often wondered about this, this very thing that we're talking about right here. Genesis 38. And look down at verse 27. Now, you all, I don't know if you remember the story of when Judah had given his son to Tamar, and he had died. He did evil in the eyes, and the Lord killed him. So he gave his second son to her, to husband, to raise up seed to his first son. Well, he went into her, but he spilled his seed on the ground, and that displeased the Lord, and the Lord killed him. And so he promised to give this woman his youngest son when he came of age. But when he came of age, he was afraid that the Lord would kill him too, so he withheld him. And so she got the bright idea that she would attire herself as a harlot and catch Judah as he went up to some sort of meal or the other. And so she did, and he went into her, and she became pregnant by him. And so then whenever he found out that she was pregnant, although he didn't know that the child was hers, then he was about to deal with her, and she said, and she had taken his bracelets and some other personal articles, and she said, "Whose are these?" And he said, "Well, they're mine." And so she had trapped him. Well, there are several things here. This woman was an adulteress. But she's in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. He took on him the likeness of sinful flesh. And even through all of that, even though all of that is true, it had no effect on grace. Yeah. All right, let's read this. Genesis 38:27. And it came to pass at the time of her travail that, behold, twins were in her womb. And it came to pass that when she travailed, that the one put out his hand, and the midwife took and bound upon his hand a scarlet thread, saying, "This came out first." This was the firstborn. And it came to pass, as he drew back his hand, that behold, his brother came out. And she said, "How hast thou broken forth? This breach be upon thee." Therefore his name was called Phares. Now, Phares was in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. And afterward came out his brother that had the scarlet thread around his hand, and his name was called Zarah. Now, in the lineage here, he mentions both of them. And Judas begat Phares and Zarah of Thamar. And Phares begat Esrom, and Esrom begat Aram. So, why did the Lord, why did he record that? And second place, why did he bring it over here into the lineage of Christ? I'm not sure I know. But it might be that Zarah represents the Jewish church. It came first, reached forth his hand to take hold on the covenant, but wasn't able. And next, the Gentile church was born. And then after that, Zarah was born. And so all Israel shall be saved. So that's a that's a area for some thought. And Judas begat Phares and Zarah of Thamar, and Phares begat Esrom, and Esrom begat Aram. And Aram begat Abinadab, and Abinadab begat Naasson, and Naasson begat Salmon. And Salmon begat Boaz of Rechab. Now y'all know what a reputation Rahab had. But there's another scarlet line tied, marking somebody. She was the harlot that took in the spies that went into what was the name of that town? Jericho. That went into Jericho, and so she hid them, and they made a covenant with her and said, "You mark your window with this cord, and when we come in and invade, we won't destroy you." And sure enough, whenever they came in to destroy Jericho, they saved her alive, and not only her, but all her family. But she is in the lineage of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is a friend of sinners. I'm glad he's a friend of sinners, because he can be a friend of me that way. And Boaz begot Obed of Ruth, and Ruth begat Jesse, but Ruth was a Moabitess. And as a Moabitess, that was the people that the Lord had a quarrel with continually, because they would not allow Israel to pass through their land. And Jesse begat David the king. Now notice here that David the king is, and all of these kings that are listed here, and there's a bunch of them, David is the only one that is called David the king, because all the promises are to David. All the kingly promises, the dominion and the rule is to David. I have found David my servant. And Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon, of her that had been the wife of Uriah. That's Bathsheba. There was another adulterous lady in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's put in there for the encouragement of us who are weak. And if everyone had a pristine past in there, It might have been sounded kind of discouraging for some of us poor sinners. But with this, we look on our Lord Jesus Christ and His birth and His lineage. It's encouraging for us. And Solomon begat Rehoboam, and Rehoboam begat Abiah, and Abiah begat Asa, and Asa begat Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat begat Joram, and Joram begat Ozias. And in that particular line right there are three left out, and they are Ahaziah, Josiah, or Joash, and Amaziah. But a lot of times, the grandfather is called the father of his grandson. And if you notice on down here, he said there's 14 generations. Well, in order to enumerate the 14 generations, he left these three out. And also, it may be that the record that that Matthew checked whenever he was writing this down had left those out. But anyway, I'm sure that it's just the way the Holy Ghost has desired for it to be. And those three that were left out, all of they went down to their graves by blood. And Ozias begat Jotham, and Jotham begat Achaz, and Achaz begat Ezekias, and Ezekias begat Manasseh, and Manasseh begat Amon, and Amon begat Josias, and Josias begat Jeconias and his brethren about the time of the they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begat Shealtiel, and Shealtiel begat Zerubbabel. Now, look at Isaiah chapter 65. Isaiah 65. Thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it. So will I do for my servants' sake, that I may not destroy them. And I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob and out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains and mine elect, shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there. Now, no matter how low the nation of Israel got, and how defeated and led into captivity and all those things, the Lord preserved them because Christ was to come out of them. All right, let's move along here. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begat Shealtiel, and Shealtiel begat Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel begat Abiad, and Abiad begat Eliakim, and Eliakim begat Azor, and Azor begat Zadok, and Zadok begat Akim, and Akim begat Eliad, and Eliad begat Eleazar, and Eleazar begat Matthan, and Matthan begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So, all the generations from Abraham to David were 14 generations. And from David until the carrying away into Babylon were 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ were 14 generations. Now, 14 generations is about 2,000 years. And when God promised Abraham his seed, no doubt Abraham might have looked for him, you know, to be born just right away. But even though it was 2,000 years, still God was faithful to his promise and to his purpose, to Christ and to his people. And the Lord Jesus Christ has promised us that he's coming back. Now note, look at Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. I'd like to read through this whole chapter, but think about this. Abraham's seed had come under the rule of the Romans. David's family was almost unrecognizable. They were fell into poverty. Joseph was a poor carpenter. And the nation had sunk into a very, very, very low estate. As a matter of fact, it was in a terrible shape, morally, nationally, every way you can think of it. At the darkest hour of her existence, the Lord Jesus Christ came the glory of his people. Now, right here in Isaiah 59, if you bear those things in mind as we read through this, listen to what the Lord says here. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. That nation, they were the greatest nation on earth at one time under David and Solomon. They had all the power, riches, and rule. Their government, and now they were the lowest. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are full of blood, and your fingers are full with iniquity, and your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. But they trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. Now think about those people in that day who, what a moral morass that was. Those people, the scribes and the Pharisees who were ruling for money and cared nothing for the things of the Lord. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's webs. He that eateth their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they have not known. There is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, and for brightness, but walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. Kind of reminds you of us, doesn't it? And our nation, the shape we're in the world. We roar like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far off from us. Our transgressions are multiplied before thee. Our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And judgment is turned away backwards, and justice standeth far off. For truth is fallen to the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth. And he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him. There was no judgment. What a miserable state. And aren't we there today? And hasn't it been about 2,000 years since the Lord came? So what's that say? It may not be long till he comes again. But look at this. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, look at this, his arm brought salvation unto him. Gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. And his righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and as a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal for a cloak. According to their deeds, and according he will repay his fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, to the islands he will repay a recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory rising from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And thy Redeemer shall come to Zion. And unto them that turn unto transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord, which he swore to by his holiness, as we read earlier. My spirit which is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Straight is the gate, narrow the way, and few that be that find it, but they will certainly find it, because they won't be finding it themselves. They'll be brought to it by the Holy Spirit. This is not a questionable gospel. It's not a maybe gospel. It's as sure as his throne. He has redeemed the people, and he will cause them to know that he possesses them. And they'll say, the Lord is my God. And he will say, it is my people. Amen.